This morning, for those of you that were in the auditorium, I spoke on the subject, How to Know God. And I want to review just real quickly for those that weren't in the auditorium, some here tonight that were here but weren't in the auditorium this morning. I talked about not just knowing about God, but knowing God, an intimate, personal, and in a close way. And in this chapter, Exodus chapter 24, God instructed Moses to do five things, that if we do the same five things, we could get to know God the way he wants us to get to know him, in that intimate, personal way. And here's the five things I mentioned. First of all, I mentioned the word come. He wants us to come. We're not, when we come, when God invites us to come, it's a personal invitation. He invited Moses to come into his presence. He invites us to come into his presence. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me. And again, I mentioned this morning, it's just like Adam's saying, it's not because we're worthy. It's not because we have something to offer him. It's because we have a need that only God can meet. And that need is to get our sins taken care of. That need is to get our sins paid for so our fellowship with God could be restored. That's why we were created, to fellowship with him. And sin breaks up that fellowship. And we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus paid for every sin. And we stand redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can have that fellowship. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God wants us to come again so that he can give us what we need. And then he says, come up. Come up. He said to Moses, come up into the mount. And the application is this. I mentioned it this morning. God will not lower his standards so that he can so that we can get to him. He expects us to raise ours. Again, not perfection, but holiness. To set ourselves aside from the world and set us, ourselves to God. And he said number three, he said, come alone. There are sometimes when we need to get with God by ourselves. Corporate worship is good when we get together and worship together. It's a wonderful, wonderful things, and there's many benefits that come out of it. But the times that we get close to God are when we spend those hours and those parts of days with him by ourselves. And again, I use marriage to picture that. When we get married, we set ourselves apart from all others to our spouse. And the times we grow the closest are those times that we spend alone and by ourselves. And then number four, I mentioned come early. Give God the first part of the day. Give him the part of the day when you're the freshest. Now, for me, that is the first part of the day. For others, it might be later on in the day. But give God the best time of your day. Set your schedule so that you'll spend some time with him during that day. Again, Satan will try to keep us from that. And he'll put all sorts of bad things and good things into our life to prevent us from doing that. And we just need to set it in our schedule and do it. And then number five, come and be there. Come and stay for a while. Don't just eat and run. Don't just pop in and then pop out. In the book of Psalms, it says, blessed, it talks about us making him our dwelling place, where we live. And we need that time with him. So that's how we get to know God, in that personal, intimate way. We come, and we come up, and we come alone, and we come early, and we come and stay, and we get to know God. Moses spent, as we read in verse 18, 40 days and 40 nights with God by himself. And what a wonderful time I'm sure he had. And then he got to do it again for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah spent 3.5 years with God by that creek as the ravens fed him, and he drank from the creek. The disciples were 10 days in the upper room as they prayed for revival before that day of Pentecost. And God came down and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they went out. And so there's precedent after precedent in the Bible where God's people, to get to know God, spent time with him in prayer, in the study of this book. And we need to do the same thing if we're going to get to know him. Now, tonight I want to follow that message this morning with another message that I've entitled, What Happens When We Get to Know God? What does God give us? What do we experience? What happens when we spend the time and we get to know Him? And I'm going to mention five things tonight. They come out of the book of Exodus, a couple here from Exodus chapter 24, and then later on in the book and subsequent chapters. But since there's five things that God asks us to do, there's five things that He gives us when we get to know Him. Number one, we get a glimpse of the glory of God. We read about it in Exodus chapter 24, verses 17 and 18. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud. You go back and you read in an earlier chapter, Moses asked to see that. He said, I want to see your glory. And God said, I'm going to show it to you, but I can't show you all of it, because if I showed you all of it, you'd die. No man has ever seen it and lived. And I can't show you all of it, Moses, but I'll bring you up to the mount. There's a place there, and I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I'll turn my backside towards you, and I'll take the hand, my hand off, and you'll get to see a little bit of my glory. And I'll tell you what, that's what most of us need. Every once in a while, we need to see a glimpse of the glory of God. We need to be reminded of the kind of God that we serve. We need to be reminded, as we see His glory, as we get close to Him, that He's an omnipotent God, that He's an all-powerful God, a God that can do anything. We need to be reminded that He's an omniscient God, that He knows everything. There's not one thing that God doesn't know. Don't you think that God is ever surprised? Because He's not. Don't you think that unexpected things happen? God knows everything. They may be a surprise to us, and they may be unexpected to us, but they are in God's plan for our life, and He knows they're coming. And He's an omnipresent God. You cannot, as a Christian, leave the presence of God. He's everywhere, and the Holy Spirit dwells in every single person, and you can run from God, and you can try to hide from God, and you may think that you're not worthy for God to be where you are. But I want to tell you what, as a Christian, you can't lose Him. He's with you all the time. Now, we may beat down His presence and we may not feel His presence, but He is there. And every once in a while, we need to go up on top of the mountain, get alone with God, and see His glory, and be reminded that He is a God that can do anything. We sing that little chorus, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do." God asked the question, is my arm shortened? Is there anything too hard for me? The psalmist reminds us when he says, "Thou art the God that doest wonders." The God that doest wonders. I know it's easy sometimes for us to get discouraged. Sometimes it's easy for us to feel defeated. Sometimes it's easy for us to get down in the dumps. Those are the times we need to get a glimpse of the glory of God. Those are the times that we need to be reminded what kind of God we serve. Those are the times that if we could just go with Moses to the top of the mountain and have God put us in the cleft of the rock and put His hand over us and turn His backside to us and say, God, I need to see Your glory. I need to be reminded what kind of God You are. And as we get close to Him, that's what He does. As we get to know Him in an intimate and personal way, that's what He does. He shows us His glory. Number two, as we get close to Him, we get the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written." And I know many of you will say tonight, well, I have the Bible. I have two or three copies. I mean, I have one in the living room, I have one in the bedroom, I have one in the kitchen. They're all over the house. I've got the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having this book in your presence. I'm talking about the author of this book giving it to you. I'm talking about the author of this book explaining it to you. I'm talking about the author of this book shining a light on this book and telling you what it means and how it can change your life and how it can impact your life. We read the words. I was reading this afternoon. I was a little bit sleepy, and sometimes I find myself with my eyes closing as I'm reading my Bible. You say, preacher, that happens to you? Yes, it happens to me. And when that happens to me, I just get up out of my chair and I walk around and read the Bible because I don't want to fall asleep. I'm not sleepwalking. I'm not sleepwalking, Ryan. I'm still awake. I'm reading my Bible as I'm walking around. And as I read and as I get closer to God, the more He reveals to me. And it's not so strange. I want you to think about your friends. I want you to think about a casual friend and a close friend and ask you the question, who do you know more about? Do you know more about the one that you just run into every now and then and say hello to? And yeah, you call them your friend, but you don't really know them because you don't spend much time with them. But the one that's your close friend, the one that you share secrets with, the one that you spend hours after hours with, that's the one that you know. Though that's the one that reveals those inner secrets to you. And God works the same way. Those that take the time to get to know Him, those that come and come up and come early and stay for a while, like Moses did, those are the one that God says, hey, sit down for a minute. You see that passage that you're reading right there? Let me tell you a little bit about it. And the Holy Spirit, as we know God, opens up this book to us. He wrote it. It is Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Who better to explain this book to us than the author? Who better to share what God wants us to get out of it but the one that wrote it? And I'll tell you what. I can read a passage and the Holy Spirit will tell me something one day, and I can read the same passage a few weeks later and the Holy Spirit will tell me something else, and they'll both be true. And they'll both be blessed. And they'll both do something to my heart, to my soul, to my life. As we get closer to Him, as we get intimate with Him, He gives us more of His Word. I know we have it. We have all 66 books. We have all the chapter. We have all chapters. We have all the verses. We have all the words that God wants us to have. I don't believe there's any other book anywhere else that God wants us to be part of this Bible. I believe we got it all here in the King James version of the Bible. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe that we can get deeper and know more about this book the closer we get to the one that wrote it. Because the Bible says that He will share His secrets with those that seek Him. Number three, He gives us a purpose. Chapter 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and I will give thee tables of stone and law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Moses, part of your job is to teach my people my law. And teach my people my principles. And teach my people the way that I want them to live. I am giving you this book and I am commissioning you to go and to teach it to my people. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's what I want you to do. And it's only as Moses got close to God. It's only as Moses got to know God in that intimate, personal way that God revealed to him His purpose. His purpose. You see, God had a purpose for making every single one of us. You've heard me say this many times. Long as the Lord gives me breath, this is a blessed truth that every one of us need to realize. You were not born and then God said, well, I need to figure out something for them to do. You were created by God with a purpose. Before you were born, before you were conceived, God had something that needed to be accomplished, and He created you. Say, oh, I wasn't created, I was born. Well, I believe every birth is a creative act of God. That's why abortion is so wrong. Every birth is a creative act of God with a purpose behind that person being born. And God oversaw your birth and oversaw the home that you were in and oversaw the experiences that you had as a child and a teenager and an adult, depending on where you are on the age spectrum tonight. Everything in your life up to this point, God has worked for a purpose to make you who you are and what you are so that you can accomplish today and tomorrow and the next day what He purposes for you to do. Don't think that you ever get too old that God doesn't have a purpose for you. Don't think that for a minute. If God was done with you and your work here on this earth, He would take you to heaven. The fact that you are still here means He has a purpose for you being here, a purpose to accomplish. And the closer we get to Him, the more of that purpose He reveals to us. And the more intimate we are with Him, the more we can understand what He wants us to do. So get close to God and figure out what He wants you to do and then go out and do it. Do it. Don't just be a person that says, well, I'm just waiting to die. No, you're not. You're not waiting to die. You have a reason, a God-given reason for being here. Find out what it is and do it. And do it. And do it. And the way you find out is you get close to Him. You spend that time, you come up, you come alone, you come early, and you be there. And God will reveal His purpose. Number four. He gave them a pattern. The next chapter, Exodus 25, verse 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. God was talking to Moses about the tabernacle. He was talking to Moses about the altar and the Ark of the Covenant and the show table and the candlesticks and all the curtains and all the things that was to be made by the Israelites. For that place of worship, for that house of God, for that place where God would appear to His people. And it was a detailed blueprint. It was a detailed plan. God did not want anything to be in question. When He gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle, Moses, and again, He gave men to work on it, but there was no doubt in Moses' mind how God wanted it to be done because He had a plan. He had a blueprint. In the same way, God puts patterns in this book that He wants us to order our life by. He puts patterns in this book for our marriages. He puts patterns in this book for our fatherhood and motherhood. He puts patterns in this book for us being a son or a daughter. He puts patterns in this book for us being grandpas and grandmas. He puts patterns in this book for us being a friend. He puts patterns in this book for us being an employee. He puts patterns in this book for every role that we walk in our life. For everything that we do in our life, there is a pattern in this book. And God told Moses, now look, Moses, I don't want you to improvise. I don't want you to cut corners. I want you to build the tabernacle exactly the way I've described it to you. I want you to use the materials exactly the way I've described them to you. I want you to do it exactly the way I've told you to do it. And you go back and you read when they get the tabernacle done. And again, Moses, there's people that gathered around, sent by God to make the things that the tabernacle itself and the things that went into the tabernacle. And you go back, and I think it's in the 40th chapter of Exodus. Sometimes my lips don't work as fast as my mind, and I got to stop for a minute. But you go back and you read the 40th chapter of Exodus, and you'll see where Moses made the statement. He looked at everything that they'd made, and he said they did it just the way that God wanted them to do it. In every detail, every little minute detail, it was done exactly the way that God wanted them to do it. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we would take the patterns from this book and the same thing could be said about us? Hey, he was a dad just like he was supposed to be. She was a wife just like she was supposed to be. He was a grandpa just like he was supposed to be. She was a daughter just like she was supposed to be. God gives us patterns in this book, and we ought to live by those patterns. We ought to please God that we followed it, that we haven't shortchanged, that we don't have a better idea, that we do it exactly the way God wants it done and follow His blueprint and His plan. And then, number five, he got a changed countenance. A changed countenance. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." When Moses came down, something had happened to him. He didn't realize it till he got down from the mount and the people told him about it. But there was something happened when Moses was up there on that mount 40 days and 40 nights. You see, a little bit of the glory of God rubbed off on Moses. Because when he came down, the Bible said that his face shone. And when he came down and he talked to the people were scared. And they had Moses put a veil across his face so that they couldn't see it. Couldn't see the shine in his face, the change in his countenance. The Bible says when he went into the tabernacle and met with God there at the Ark of the Covenant, he'd take that veil off. But when he went out and spoke to the people, he put the veil on. I was thinking this afternoon, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that when people looked at us, they saw the glory of God? They saw something on our face that they couldn't explain. That's why the people were afraid. I mean, they looked at Moses and said, "We ain't seen, they ain't never seen this before. We can't explain it. We don't know what it is." And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as we went to work tomorrow, or we went about our the things that we have to do tomorrow, as we go, whatever you have to do tomorrow, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing and if people could just look at us and they could see a little bit of the glory of God in our face, in our life, in our actions? They can, as long as we're willing to pay the price and get close to God. You know, you can't hang around another person for a long time without that person rubbing off on you. You can't. They rub off on you. And so does God. So does God. The more time we spend with Him, the closer we get, the more intimate that we are with Him. We can't help it. He's going to rub off on us. And when we go out in the world, we're going to be weird. The Bible uses the word peculiar. We're going to be peculiar. The world's not going to understand. They're not going to understand a person that gets intimate with God and God rubs off on them and some of His glory shows up on our face and in our life and in our actions. But they need to see it. What this old world needs to see more than anything else is children of God that have spent time with their God and His glory has rubbed off on us. That's what it needs. That's what it needs. And so the question is, are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do what God told Moses to do so we can get what Moses got? I mean, he got a glimpse of God's glory. He got the Word of God. He got a purpose. He got a pattern. He got a changed countenance. Why? Because he came. He came up. He came alone. And he came early. And he came and stayed. God hasn't changed. We do the same things that Moses did, we'll get the same thing that Moses got. And that's what this old world needs. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for being a God that doesn't change, that we know that we can learn from men like Moses, because you are a God that doesn't change. And I pray tonight we do what Moses did so we could get what Moses got. I pray our desire, every Christian here tonight, I pray our desire would be to be closer to you. And we would say like Paul, oh, that I may know him. And we would do what you've told us to do to get there. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit has worked in that person's life that may be here tonight that doesn't know Christ. Help them to see they can't get any of this until they come. Jesus is the only way that they can get their sins taken care of and get right with you. And Father, again, I pray if there's just one here tonight that doesn't know Christ, they'd see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, and they'd see the one that died for them. And tonight, they'd receive him. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.